All right. Praise the Lord. We're set. Let's get into the Word. Numbers chapter 11, please. Numbers chapter 11. Wow, isn't that a great one? I want to reiterate what my daughter Rachel shared. I don't need this. About the idea that whatever God's put in your hand, that could be the very oil well, if you will, to your blessing, your abundance. Take what God gives you. He asked Moses, he said, what is that in your hand? And he said, it's a staff. He said, throw it down. So take what God's given you and let it be a blessing. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for opening our eyes, opening our ears to hear you, our eyes to see you today in all of your glory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. We're going to start in verse 16. Let me say this before we read our passage. This passage, if I don't say anything else today, I got to say this. That's why I put it at the front of my sermon. I tend to put this big, big, big introduction to, and then get to the climax of the message. But I said, Lord, I don't know where things are going to go in this service. I better put this at the start because I want to make sure I get to the main point. And this scripture was confirmed four times this week. I was listening to a CD myself. Brother Bill Winston was teaching, and he brought up this verse, Numbers 11, 29, which we'll get to in a moment. Terry was listening to a CD by Robert Morris, and the main verse on the CD she happened to listen to this week was Numbers 11, 29. I opened a Smith Wigglesworth book because we've been doing a study on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the verse that popped out at me in Smith Wigglesworth's book was Numbers 11, 29. In my own personal Bible reading time, my couple chapters a day, I do three or four chapters a day, to get through the Bible in a year. And one of my chapters this week happened to fall on Numbers chapter 11, which corresponded with verse 29. So you think the Holy Ghost has a word for you today? Well, I hope you have your pen and highlighter ready, because when we get to verse 29, this is a word for you. Let's start in verse 16, though. Numbers 11, 16. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed, if only we had meat to eat. You know, if you back up earlier in the chapter, this is when Israel got tired of eating manna. But manna bread, as Keith Green called it years ago. And they were whining, and the Lord said, okay, I'll give you meat to eat. He says, when I heard you wail, we want meat to eat. We were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just one day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, here I am among 600,000 men on foot. Now Moses gets his mind in the way here. Moses starts taking account of the natural. And he says, listen, Lord, I got 600,000 men who are above the age of 20 that we can list as soldiers. And he says, and you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month? Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? Moses is having a hard time thinking big, isn't he? Verse 23, the Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? You will now see whether or not what I say will come true for you. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took of the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. They prophesied. Now, in some translations, the last part of this verse said they prophesied and continued to do so. I know some translations say they prophesied and did not do so again, but I think the other translation is more accurate. They prophesied and couldn't quit, okay? More or less is what they happened. And verse 26, however, two men whose names were Ildad and Medad, probably had the same dad, had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders but did not go out to the tent, yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since his youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. Here we go, verse 29. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? Now I'm going to read it in the King James right here. He says, would God, and some in the modern translation says, I wish. Would God. That's a way of, that's a way a godly person talks. would be that God, in other words, we don't wish upon a shining star. We wish on, we put our hope in God. Would that God would make this happen. And this is what he says. Would that God, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon all of them.
Amen.
Would that God, that all of God's people were prophets. In other words, Moses saying, man, I've been carrying you 2-3 million, whatever it was, sheep through this desert, and now I'm seeing God pour his spirit on 70 people plus, or 68 plus 2 in the camp, and I'm thinking, whoa, this is great, man. I don't have to carry this load alone. The spirit of prophecy is coming on these people, and there's more than one that can help carry the load for prophesying. In other words, declaring God in the midst of his people, and he's saying, I wish God would do this on all his people. Spread the load. Well, how many of you know at the day of Pentecost, the load was spread?
Yeah.
We're going to read about that in just a moment. But I want to define a few things for you real quick here. What is a prophet? A prophet is one who speaks on behalf of God. That's real simple. Say this with me. I'm a prophet.
I
speak on behalf of God.
I speak
under divine inspiration.
That's
what we do. We're all prophets. Now, we don't all stand in the office of a prophet. There's a difference in having the ability to declare God's divine voice. All of us have that ability. If you've been born again, you're a child of God. You have his Holy Spirit living in you. You are, in essence, a prophet, one who speaks on behalf of God, of course, as he directs. Because if it's just you speaking, that's not prophecy. Prophecy involves divine inspiration. We speak as God directs us. You see the importance of our words? No, man, we're so quick to just shoot our words off, blab. Our society is full of just people just blabbing everything that's on their mind. Look at this verse in Proverbs with me. Hold that place right there in Numbers 11. We'll come back to it. But look at a verse in Proverbs, speaking of blabbers. Proverbs chapter 29. Now let's go over, Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. A fool's mouth is his destruction. How much of that are we seeing in our day? So-and-so just got fired from ABC, or so-and-so news anchor just lost their job because they tweeted this or Twittered that. Listen, tweet gets you in trouble, saints. Watch what you say. We all got opinions. They're like noses. You don't have to air it. All right? A fool's mouth is his destruction. Look at chapter 17, verse 28. Flip back a chapter. Look at verse 28. Even a fool, Proverbs 17, 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. You got something to say? May not be the time to say it. A little self-control go a long way in this day and age. We were talking at the men's breakfast yesterday. Someone brought up a story of some guys that were commentating on an airplane that had gone down. It was an Asian airliner. So these kind of silly names were made up, by these conservative talk show, or I don't know if they were conservative, they were radio talk show hosts, about these, supposedly the name of the, well, anyways, as you can imagine, they combined Asian-sounding words, like wing too low or that kind of thing. Just silly stuff, but it got them in trouble. And they lost their job for life. They can never broadcast on radio again. I said, whoa, that's pretty serious. All for a joke. All for airing their mouth, their foolishness from their mouth. I tell you, that proverb's true. A fool's mouth is his destruction. Now back in Numbers. We need to hover over this verse. I want this to sink in for a moment because obviously the Holy Ghost wants to say this to us. Would to God, Numbers 11, 29, would to God that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. Now, when did this happen? When did this happen? Moses' wish here, if you will. Let me tell you something. Moses' wish came to pass on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. Moses' desire to see all of God's people be prophetic, be able to utter under divine inspiration the words of God, the life of God. Listen, saints, we live in a grossly dark world. People are out there, they're searching for answers. We sang about it a while ago. They're searching for answers far and wide. I took a bold step yesterday. I had an appointment. Oh, are we recording? Oh, we're recording. Yesterday, I wonder if I can pause this. Now I can talk some more. I need the Spirit of God poured out on you guys. Go out there and be a light. Prophesy. Speak on behalf of God. I heard one man say, listen, if you got a job, you're not employed, you're deployed. God places his saints among the wicked for his purpose. Can you say amen? Listen, you're not there just making money. You're there being a light. We got a dark world we got to light up. We got to light up this world for Jesus. So Moses says this in Numbers 11:29. I wish God all the people were prophets. Now let's look in Acts chapter 2. We know it was fulfilled there. Acts chapter 2. Hold your finger in Acts 2 and let's run past it to 1 Corinthians 14. I want to look at a verse real quick so you get a word definition. Acts 2. Stick your bookmark there and then skip ahead to 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Everyone who prophesies. How many of you in here can prophesy? All of you. You got the Spirit of God in your life? You can prophesy. Don't. Yes, it's mysterious. Yes, it's awesomely wonderful. Well, let's bring it down to a grassroots level where we can actually do this thing. It means to simply speak under divine inspiration. Look what it says here. Everyone who prophesies speaks to who? To men. Speaks to men for their edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's New Testament prophecy. When you and I prophesy, listen, a lot of words were shared here this morning. What did they do? They exhorted. They edified. They comforted those who heard them. I leave here comforted, exhorted. I'm edified today by the words that were spoken over my wife and I. You've been edified by the words that have been spoken from this pulpit and different people sharing. You've been edified. Why? Because Jesus' words to us are always full of fear not. That's right. Comfort. What did Jesus say? All the time. I mean, every time he turned around, he was saying that to somebody. Fear not. What does that mean? He's parting the waters of fear, bringing his courage into the situation. That's the nature of Jesus. That's the nature of the prophetic word. It's real simple, folks. And you can do it. You got the Holy Ghost in you? Just say, Lord, use me today to prophesy, to declare under divine inspiration to men comfort, edification, exhortation. What is exhortation, by the way? That's a long word. Let me break that down for you. Exhortation is simply means this, to draw someone alongside of, to draw someone. In other words, come follow Jesus. What was I doing to those young men on the sidewalk yesterday? I was exhorting them, come follow Jesus. He'll bless you. He'll direct you. I said, just make him Lord of your life. He'll guide you. We can't figure this thing out. Listen, we can't figure our own lives out, saints. Well, I was telling these guys, they weren't saints yet, but I was telling them, you can't figure your life out. You need someone to guide you. That's exhortation. Let Jesus come alongside you. So exhorting people means you simply say, and listen, we can do that to each other all the time. Listen, you're here in the lobby before a service and someone's had a rough, rough week and it shows in their speech. They're talking about what a rough time they had. You can exhort them, hey, Jesus has been with you. It's okay. He's going to see you through. What are you doing? You're drawing them alongside of faith. You're pulling them up alongside the table to say, eat of some faith. Eat of some trust. You're exhorting them. That's exhortation. That's prophecy. And you can all do it. Would to God you were all doing it. Listen, I love talking about everything under the sun before a service. And when we come together before and after service, that's great. We're sharing our lives with one another. But let's be sure that we're also sensitive to speak under divine inspiration. Prophecy is not just for the church service. You follow me? It's for our fellowship too. You don't know if that brother or that sister is really on the brink. They feel like, man, they're about to snap because the enemy's been putting pressure after pressure. Listen, he goes after us. He's already got the world. He can spend his energy on us. We need to be sensitive. Listen, that brother, that sister, you might have a word that will just break that attack, shatter that yoke. That heaviness, that oppression, and give them the strength they need to pull up alongside Jesus and keep on in this walk. So that's New Testament prophecy right there. Now look back in Acts chapter 2. I'm loving this series on the Holy Ghost. Terry asked me last week, we had a really, really long day. I don't remember what all we did, but by the end of the day, I said, man, I just feel energized. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I had a lot on my, oh, I worked. Yeah, we had a church service, I worked. We had something that night. I don't remember what all was going on. But by the end of the day, I didn't feel tired, Naomi. I felt zinged, man. I was raring to go. Because anytime we talk about the Holy Spirit, there's power in it. There's juice in it. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now look at verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from where? Every nation under heaven. The day of Pentecost was a foretelling. No coincidence that there happened to be Jews from every nation under heaven. Now remember, we're looking at this, we're looking back on this event 2,000 years in the future right now as we read this in our Bible. On that day, this was all new to them. Jesus just told them, go to Jerusalem and wait. You mean he wants to go back to that city where they killed you, Lord? Yeah, go to Jerusalem, the people I've forgiven, even the ones that put the nails in my hands, and wait. And watch and see what happens. And God drew Jews for this Pentecost feast. It was the day of Pentecost. That was a Jewish feast. It wasn't called the day of Pentecost because we got tongues as a church on that day. It was called the day of Pentecost because it was a feast celebrating the giving of the law, the first fruits harvest. So these Jews just happened to be gathered in that one city from every nation under heaven. It was a foretelling of this. This gospel will go to every nation under heaven. I love that. I could camp on verse 5, but that's not really where we're focused today. I just love it. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men from Galileans? Now let's skip down to verse 14. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Here's what was spoken. This is a prophecy, and it starts in verse 17 as a quote. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on what? All flesh. In the King James, it reads all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. I was breaking bread with one of our couples here in the church last week. We had a nice time of dinner and fellowship with them. And they were sharing with me how that at a really, really low point in their life, God gave them this supernatural dream. I mean, it was so real. You ever had one of those dreams that was like so real? You woke up, you thought, wait, was that real life or is this, you know? But they woke up from the dream and it was so real. They knew it was a spirit-given dream. It was a dream from the Lord. And it wasn't until a time later that they realized the fulfillment. When they saw the fulfillment on the other side of the fulfillment of the dream, they look back and they go, oh, that's what that dream was about. Listen, God's still doing today what he told these people 2,000 years ago he's going to be doing. He's given dreams. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you can have dreams from the Lord. How many of you know that? You can have visions from the Lord. Saints, don't read this and say this is for them. This is for you. This is for you and 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 all of you. Would to God that all of you were having dreams, all of you were having visions, all of you were prophesying. I'm like Moses today, I'm just going to say it. All right. Verse 18, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood. Hello, is that relevant in 2018? I've been a Christian since I was 8 years old and never heard so much talk about blood moons. Yeah. Never understood that verse. But now I get it. I mean, we're living in a time when things are happening in the universe to where people describe the moon as turning to blood. Hello, it's relevant. We're there, saints. Before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Peter defines for us here the beginning of the last days. When did the last days begin? This is a pop quiz. You just read it. I'll give you an easy answer. Come on, somebody shout it out. Shout it out. Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 the fulfillment of this prophecy from the book of Joel. Peter says, this is what was prophesied in the last days. The clock started ticking on the day of Pentecost. The church was born. It wasn't just a bunch of silliness. It was filled with power. It was filled with prophetic declaration. It was filled with symbolism that this gospel would be going out into all the world. And it began the start of the last days. Now, unbelievers will scoff at that. They say, whoa, whoa. Is God having a senior moment? I mean, it's taken him 2,000 years to get to the end. It's been 2,000 years since the day of Pentecost, roughly, right? I added that up the other day. It's like 730,000 days. Roughly. So you could say 730,000 roughly days ago started the last days. And we're there. We're seeing it. I heard a prophecy given the other day. And this person, a very reputable person. If I said the name, you'd go, yeah, that makes sense. But they said this. They said, I'm coming soon. And I know you, as my people, say it and you believe it, but I'm telling you, I'm coming sooner than you think. That's what the Lord said through this word of this prophetic utterance. Wow. We're there, folks.
Amen.
Don't ever take lightly God's timetable. The Bible says, Peter said, God is not willing that any should perish. That's why he's allowing this clock to play out 730,000 plus days. I know it seems like he's taking a long time, but God's merciful. In the meantime, let's light up and let's begin prophesying and let's begin having dreams and visions and hearing from God. Hey, it's about hearing from God.
Amen.
What I say earlier, we're living in a dark, dark time. People are looking for answers. Yes. And guess where they're going to get them from? You and I. If it's not coming through the church, will it be the ultimate answer to set free? No, there's so many counterfeits out there. I was sharing with someone else recently, you know, there's everything that's in the world that looks powerful, that looks effective among people is a counterfeit if it's not rooted in Jesus. Amen. People read their horoscopes. What are they looking for? They're looking for something mystical. They're looking for something that's going to leap out, that they'll go, ooh, wow, it gives them chills because it gives them a sense of there's a prophecy given to their life, a foretelling. People go to fortune tellers. People go to psychics. Why? To hear a voice. To get some direction in their life. It's all counterfeit, saints.
That's right.
And you and I are supposed to be presenting the real.
That's right.
The real.
Amen.
Jesus came to the woman at the well. He told her five words. You have had five husbands. That's a Holy Ghost spotlight. Jesus walks up and he's there. And listen, Jesus had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit just like you and I did.
Right.
He came up out of the River Jordan and the Holy Ghost came upon him. He was immersed in the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed it, how much more you and I?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Jesus, everywhere he goes, this Holy Ghost, this power is upon him, enabling him to speak under divine inspiration, under divine utterance. And he says to the woman at the well, you have had five husbands. And Holy Ghost spotlight shines on her, and man, it's over. Game over. She becomes an evangelist. She's the only person in the Bible I know of that Jesus declared his messiahship to directly. I who speak to you am he. She said, I know when Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. I who speak to you am that one. To a woman. A woman with a sordid past. She has had five husbands. And the man... Oh, we'll go. We'll leave it at that. But Jesus shines his Holy Ghost light. Why? To embarrass her? No. To draw her into the love of God. We're going to get on a woman series here soon because we've got warped thinking about women in the church. Women shouldn't speak. Thank you for sharing today. Prophecy. The declaration of Jesus in your life. He's been faithful. And Jesus elevates women in the Bible. Lifted them from this cattle status they had fallen to through the law. To a place where they could be lifted in dignity. He could say, I who speak to you am him. I'm revealing myself as the Messiah, the one who came to save you from your sins. Well, that's another track. We'll get off on that. Whoo, so much to say about the Holy Ghost. Hey, I don't have to justify it, but listen, the people who speak in tongues the most powerful people on earth. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. I'd rather say 5 words in the church in English than 10,000 in tongues. It doesn't mean he didn't speak the 10,000 before he got there.
That's right.
The 10,000 he spoke before he got there gave him 5 words that would have been similar to Jesus. You have had 5 husbands. Listen, you can speak 5 powerful words when you're under the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost that will rock somebody's world and turn them into an evangelist. Psalm shared about how he didn't say nothing. He just touch someone's forehead. Listen, when you're under the divine inspiration of the Holy Ghost, you can do weird stuff.
That's right.
Yes. And it'll rock the world. Mm-hmm. Oh, if you will get the vision of this, that God is calling us to rock our world. But you can't do it by yourself. Jesus couldn't do it by himself. Why? Because he emptied himself. When he came in flesh as a man, he himself had to be empowered from on high. For 30-something years, he walked the earth doing no miracle, no expression of power, preaching no sermons, teaching nobody, until the Holy Ghost came upon him at his water baptism. If he needed it, how much more you and I? I'm going to read to you real quick something from... and I ordered 15 of these. They'll be here this week. You got to read this one too. I'm sorry, I'm going to make you leaders into readers around here. Readers are leaders, so... You're just going to have to give up that lazy spirit and become a reader. All of them. Would to God that all of you would prophesy. This is Reinhard Bonnke. He's just retired. Just now stepping away. I shouldn't say retired, but in the kingdom there comes a time when you pass your baton and you, whatever, you know, you get caught up on the mountain and God buries you like Moses. But Reinhard's still living. I believe he's in Florida. Awesome man of God. He's led in his lifetime some 70-something million people to Jesus. They have documented, registered cards of people giving their heart to Jesus through his ministry in Africa and all around different parts of the world. Amazing, amazing man. He says this, listen, the power of the Holy Spirit does not come as a reward. Power is not a trophy at the end of a marathon. We need power at the start if we are to run the marathon for God.
You
need power in your life? You don't earn it. It's not a reward. It's something you... admit your need of. He says, I'm about to run this marathon. I need this power.
Amen.
We may be disgraceful, perhaps stumbling in our walk, but that makes it so necessary for us to receive the Holy Spirit. He is not given on condition that we are perfect. He is given because we are not perfect. He has come because we need him for the best and for the worst of us. Just repeat in your heart, Holy Spirit, I really need you. Glory. We need him. We need the Holy One. Without him, we get into all kind of mouth trouble. I shared with you last week, there are 4 things the tongue is used for. Tasting, breaking down food, masticating or digesting, aiding in the digestion process, speaking, and intimacy. And all of those are symbolic in the spirit as well. Amen? Why do you think God chose our tongue at the starting date as an expression as we get baptized or immersed in his Holy Spirit? Because we got tongue trouble. Isaiah said, I live among a people of unclean lips. Unclean lips. We need our tongues sanctified. We need our taste buds, the things that we desire, sanctified. We need the things that we digest and we bring into our heart, sanctified. We need our words sanctified. We need the intimacy, the things that we worship. You know, intimacy is also a picture of worship. What you kiss, symbolically speaking, is what you worship. There's a scripture where God told Elijah, he said, I have reserved 7,000 who have not kissed, bowed the knee, or kissed Baal. Kissing is a sign of worship. And God says, I'm coming to you in Holy Ghost and fire, and I'm going to get a hold of your tongue because I don't want you worshiping the wrong things in life. And let me tell you something. The devil's always trying to do to us what he did to Jesus and say, if you'll bow down and worship me. It may not be the kingdoms. It may be a car.
It may be gold. It may be status. It may be esteem among men. There could be a number of things he could tempt us with. And God wants to sanctify what you will be willing to worship. So he says, let me have your tongue. And when he gets a hold of your tongue, brother, whew, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Well, I'm to the end. Romans chapter 8. Let's wind it down with this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Romans 8, 26. Three things real quick that the baptism in the Holy Spirit helps you with and helps me with. Okay, why we need this. Now, those of you that are baptized in the Holy Spirit in here, you've already had this encounter with the Lord. I want to encourage you. Press in. Look up here in just one moment. Press in for additional baptisms. Hallelujah. Unlike water baptism, we get water baptized once. It's a symbol of our faith. It's a confession. It's an outward symbol of what's happened inside of us. We have died, been buried, and we're resurrected in Jesus. We've accepted Jesus. We believe on Him. Water baptism is done once. This experience we call the baptism or this immersion in the Holy Ghost, can happen all throughout our lifetime. So press in. Press in. Don't say, I've got the t-shirt, I've had this, been there, done that. Listen, we need to press in for more baptisms, more immersions. Say, Jesus, immerse me again. I need it again. And then just yield yourself to it. Give some time to it. But look what he says here in Romans 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray. Say that with me. I do not know what I ought to pray. Let God be true and every man a liar. Your brain will make you think you know you're so smart and what to pray. But God said right here, he says, we don't know what to pray. There's a bigger picture out there. There's a spirit realm, Ross, that we're warring not against flesh and blood. We are up against invisible forces. They're not greater than us. I don't say that to elevate them. But I say that to steer our thinking toward where we're supposed to direct our warfare, how we're supposed to direct our warfare. He says here, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans and words that words cannot express. Verse 27, and He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We'll stop right there. Three things I want to point out to you real quick if you're taking notes. Verse 26, He helps us in our weakness. He helps us in our weakness because we don't know what to pray. That's what the Holy Ghost will do for you on your tongue. When you yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit and pray in the Spirit, it may be shandalai, 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 shandalai. That's how I started off as a 12-year-old. It was about four syllables. It was triplets, if you're musical. Triplets, triplet, triplet, triplet. Okay, it was three syllables. That's about as far as it went as a 12-year-old. But I've told you this in weeks past. You know, I could sit for hours, and I'll go from Arabic to French to Spanish. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying it feels that way. It feels like sometimes it's earthly languages, sometimes it's heavenly dialects. Sometimes, never mind. Verse 27. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. Listen, who's searching our hearts? Jesus. Listen, this is something really powerful I want to point out to you. When you pray in the Spirit, there's an intercessor. The Bible calls Jesus in the book of Hebrews. It says He intercedes on our behalf. He's in heaven praying for you and I, in a sense. He's praying before the Father. He's speaking things before the Father. Jesus is a heavenly intercessor. When you pray in the Spirit, you are joining forces with the heavenly intercessor from the earthly intercessor who's in you. And it's for what? Look at the end of verse 27. He who searches the mind of the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Listen, you want to pray God's will? Pray in the Spirit. Because inevitably, as you pray in English, your will is going to get mixed up in there. And we always think smaller than God. Pray in the Spirit and you will be, the Holy Ghost in you will be joining hands with Jesus in heaven to bring about God's will on earth. That's where I'm going. The intercessor in you, the Holy Spirit, will join hands with the intercessor in heaven, Jesus, to bring about God the Father's will on earth. And it's big stuff, saints. We're in this room today because of praying in tongues. Can't tell you. Hours and hours spent this last year praying in tongues. We were going to go a different direction. We had our eye on
A location next to a donut shop was not a bad choice in the natural. I think we're thinking in the carnal there. But great spot for a church. Great spot. And the Lord says, no, I got something better. Way less money. Way better. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the Nolan Ryan Center. But it came about. He revealed it. He shined his spotlight on this place for us through the praying of the Spirit. Listen, God flies under. You talk about, listen, the U.S. Army was not, the U.S. Air Force was not the first guys to think of stealth aircraft. God flies under the radar. And when you pray in the Spirit, listen. Well, we started to get into this last week. You're speaking in code. The enemy can't decipher. You pray in English, the devil hears you. And he understands English. He knows. Jesus said he savors the things of men. He does not savor the things of God.
That's right.
You can pray around the enemy by praying in the Spirit. Listen, saints, I hope you'll get this. I'm driving this home. When you pray in the Spirit, you're bypassing the enemy's strategies for your life. Because he's got some plans. You know, we always say things like, God's got a great plan for your life. That's a good intro for an evangelistic approach to somebody that doesn't know Jesus. God's got a great plan for your life, Rebecca. I want to tell you something. The devil's got a plan for your life too. And he's scheming and plotting and planning 24/7, 365. That's who he is. Now, he's not greater than us. We're not intimidated by that. We just got to wake up and realize that's the reality. That's what's going on. So when you pray in the Spirit, you pray around his plans for your life, and you're drawing in the big, great big things like the cross. It says of the cross, if the enemy had known what God had in mind, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You want to pray that kind of plan into your life? That's what I want. Enemy's got, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 roadblocks set up for me ahead of my life in the next few years. I want to pray around all that.
Absolutely.
And draw into my life the amazing bigness that will give me the victory. The Bible says he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Listen, if you're praying in the perfect will of God, praying in the Spirit for your life, you will always triumph. Now, we quote this verse, Romans 8:28, quite a bit. You know, all things work together for good. You'll even hear sinners say, all things work together. You know, everything works together. They won't usually even say the good part, but they'll just say, all things work together. Or sometimes they'll throw in that all things work together for good. That's true. But the qualifier for all things working together for good in this context, because you never want to take one Bible verse out of context. It's dangerous. The qualifier for all things working together for good in your life is the verse before it and before that. Praying in the Spirit. All things work together for good for those who pray the perfect will of God into their life, into their situation. Listen, you find yourself in the midst of a storm, you better pray in the Spirit, because you don't know what's going on in the natural. You don't. And I don't. Ain't none of us in here bigger, smarter than that spirit realm as far as perception. We're just not. John the Apostle said, the whole world's under the control of the devil. Listen, he's got them fooled. And we don't want to be fooled, saints. We're not called to be fooled. We're called to walk in light. Walk in revelation. And when you pray in the Spirit, you draw that revelation into your life. Terry and I had some outbreaks this morning. Glory to God. I was feeling discouraged yesterday. I had a moment. I have moments. Will you allow me a moment? Preachers have moments. And my, praise the Lord. You know, usually if I'm up, she might be a little down. If I'm down, she's always up. So she's telling me on the phone, it's good. I'm commuting, you know, coming home from a long day at work. It's all good. It's all good. Just don't bring any discouragement home. And she's reminding me, it's all good. It's fine. We're going over. And I didn't see the answer. Why? I saw confusion. I saw darkness. I saw frustration. I saw a little weariness. And I needed that encouragement. We prayed in spirit last night, prayed for today's service, prayed this morning. She prayed a whole lot in tongues yesterday, probably mostly for me. And this morning I got it, man. I'm sitting there at the kitchen table. I said, hey, I know what I'm going to do for such and such. The answer came. Glory to God. The answer came. It's here. And she got a revelation on something. She was seeking the Lord too. So saints, revelation, knowledge, it's the most powerful force on the earth. One of them. I don't know if I can go that far, but it's one of the most powerful things. It's one of the most priceless things, Sister Naomi. Revelation. The light that was shining in here this morning. Bert, God's moving in your life. That was revelation knowledge. The word from Tom, the word from Tina. It's revelation. It's the most priceless stuff on earth. More valuable than gold. Proverbs, Solomon said, listen, forget gold and silver and rubies and all those things. Get wisdom.
That's right.
What is wisdom? It's God's insight.
Yeah.
And it comes through praying in the Spirit.
Amen. Ah,
can't get you to do it enough. When you're making your bed, when you're driving your car, when you're doing the dishes, when you're taking out trash, y'all not just be thinking about the Dallas Cowboys score last week. Pray in the Spirit.
That's right.
You don't know what's around the corner for you or me.
Right.
You may have some darkness in your life, but as you're praying in the Spirit, listen, saints, it's like God's just lighting the runway. He's just lighting your path. He's lighting your life up. Every time you pray in the Spirit, He's lighting your life up, and you'll go around the devil's barrels. You'll walk right past the trap door, the pit that's laid there for you, as you pray in the Spirit.
Jesus.
Praise God. I shared with you last week, I'm going to close with this. Dr. Carl Peterson, it was a MD from ORU. He said this, as we engage in our heavenly language, the brain releases two chemical secretions that are directed into our immune system, giving a 35 to 40% boost to the immune system, promoting healing within our bodies. It's triggered from a part of the brain that has no other apparent activity in humans and is only activated by our Spirit-led prayer and worship. Now that ought to be enough to get your engine going and praying in the Spirit. A doctor confirms chemicals, folks. We're talking stuff that can be measured by science. Science confirms the Bible, by the way. It doesn't discredit the Bible. It confirms it when it's proper science. And he confirms what the Bible already said. Jude said, you build yourself up. You want to build your immune system? It goes beyond vitamins because we're in spiritual warfare here.
Amen.
Pray in the Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues. Release that thing in you and it will bless you. It will build you up. Well, there's more to say. But listen, as we close this morning, we're going to open the altars one more time. In just a moment, we're going to have you stand. We're just going to take 5 minutes. I know you've gone long today. We might beat the Methodist to movies if we just take 5 minutes more. But listen, when we stand, if you would like to be prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we had Jesse come up last week. He launched off, man. He went into Arabic and something else. I don't know. But his language just opened up. Listen, we're going to lay hands on you. We're just going to take a minute, pray for you. The Holy Ghost will fill you. The Bible says you will speak in other languages as the Spirit gives you the ability.
Hallelujah.
So it's a partnership. You yield your tongue, your mouth, your teeth, and He gives you the words to say. And it's beautiful. It's glorious. As our sister shared, you know, He's with us always. Listen, you ever doubt the Lord is with you? Just start praying in Spirit, speaking in Spirit. That's Him in you. You can't do that. That's Him in you. It's a reminder. It's a constant reminder. He's with us. So let's all stand together. We're just going to take a minute. Robert, would you come and play? If you're here today and you say, Scott, I've never received this, never been baptized, never been immersed in the Holy Ghost, never spoken in other tongues, never had this release come in my life, but I want it today. If this is your day, just step on out. Come on, real quick. Not going to play just as I am. Not going to wait for hours. We're just going to open up the altar. This is a gift for you. And in Romans 8, 28, it said, all things will work together for your good. Listen, the Holy Ghost is for your good. Oh, more than we know. He's for our good. He's so good to us. We sang that song this morning. You have been so, so good to me. Amen. So Lord, we just thank you right now. We look to you as our baptizer. We thank you that you're going to immerse us in the Holy Ghost, those that have never been filled. If that's you, come on up. Receive it today. This is your moment. Don't wait. Jesus said you need this. He told 12 men who had walked and talked and ate with him for 3 years solid, day and night. He said, you don't have it. You don't have enough power to do what I'm asking you to do. But if you'll receive the Holy Spirit, you'll have it. Hallelujah. If that's you today and you want to receive that, just come on up. We're going to pray for you real quick. You'll get it. You'll receive it. And He'll fill you.